You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle and your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting bits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We do have a couple of topics prepared for you, but that doesn't mean that we don't go off the beaten path and explore tangents and explore new areas in podcast form here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in for another show of shenanigans and wackiness that we've got cooking up here for you every Thursday on the podcast feed. And I just want to reiterate once again, because we made a big deal about it on our social media pages. We are now everywhere, I feel like. We're on the big one was Spotify.
Yeah.
That felt like we're legit. Yay!
Well, you know what's funny, though, is that, I mean, iTunes used to be the big one.
Right. iTunes was the big one.
And that's where we started. That wasn't hard.
Yeah, they just needed podcasts.
But Spotify.
Spotify is like a little procedure you got to jump through. So.
Yeah.
And Spotify is literally like everywhere.
Yeah.
It works perfectly with newer cars with Android Auto and what's the Apple one?
Apple CarPlay.
Apple CarPlay. Yeah.
Plug your phone in, it's right there on the app, ready to go.
And
this has been a paid advertisement.
And also Spotify is the official music service for PlayStation, so
yes it is.
Yeah, if you got a
you can get it bundled with Hulu. I mean, Spotify is everywhere.
Oh yeah, I just did that too.
Did you?
I totally forgot that I forgot that that was a thing.
Right,
and I just kept delaying it, and then I realized that the offer I think expires at the end of this week or something. So I was like, "Oh, I better get on that." So I finally did that.
So you got Hulu now?
Yeah, so now I have Hulu for free. Comes with Spotify.
Handmaid's Tale.
Oh yeah, you've been telling me to
absolutely what you like. Yeah. You like the weird. No, I'm saying
you like that weird stuff.
No, I think
hello, Richard. You like that weird stuff?
No, I think you'd really like it. It is a very
it's just funny. You had like an old man point.
I did an old nobody can see it, but I did a shaky old man.
Ooh, let me tell you something.
Single finger.
You can like this one, G.
But seriously, though, I'm fighting
the show.
I'm fighting not to do it.
Buckle up.
It's going to be another 2 hours of this.
Yeah.
Old finger wagging at Rich.
And I wag my finger at young people.
It's just finger wagging.
This is what we do.
It's audio version of finger wagging. But I think you'll really enjoy it. It is a dark, tense character drama set in a pseudo, semi-futuristic religious cult society dystopian world. It's really, really good.
Yep. So now I can do it. That's right. So, I can catch up on that now thanks to the Spotify account. This has not been a paid advertisement for Spotify,
despite
by the way.
Despite what it sounds like.
No. I was just happy that Spotify has finally accepted us into the ranks.
Yeah, but literally, anywhere you can find podcasts, we're probably there.
Yeah.
Go check us out.
So, we're on those two. We're on Google Podcasts.
Stitcher.
Stitcher too. But the thing I want to mention with Google is if you say the phrase, because I don't want to say it and everyone turns their phones on.
Right.
But if you say the phrase to activate your Google Assistant and you say, listen to the Crispy Noodle Podcast, we come up.
Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So the Google Assistant knows us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Google Assistant knows us. So
we're in good with Google.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's a whole new era now for podcasting.
Yeah.
We're on everywhere.
It's
so
a brave new world.
That's right. So podcasting history aside, Mike, how you doing? What's up in the world of Costanzo country?
I'm swell. Well, the big thing in Costanzo country has nothing to do with Costanzo country. It actually has to do with a mutual friend of ours, somebody who's been on the podcast, Ryan McAlpine.
Yeah, Ryan.
Got married this weekend.
Yeah, congratulations to our friend Ryan.
Yeah, big congrats to him. The wedding was great. It was really nice. They dropped a few Office references into their vows.
Oh, okay.
Which was awesome. I love the Office.
Oh, I love the Office too.
So yeah. I was sitting there, I was like probably the only person in the crowd that got it. I was like, that's the Office.
I'm sure a lot of people watch The Office.
I hope so. But the big fun thing was that Gritty showed up to the wedding.
Yeah,
the
Gritty himself.
The Flyers mascot. It was wild.
How do we get Gritty to show up to the game show marathon? I need to figure this out.
Spend a couple $1,000s.
But we're a charity event. We don't have thousands of dollars.
Contact the Flyers.
Damn it, Flyers. Let us know.
Those cheap bastards.
Yeah, come on.
But it was really cool. He was fun. He was great with the guests. He stayed for a while, like a good like half hour, I think, taking pictures with everyone, dancing.
That's great.
And just, yeah, he signed an autographed puck for them. And it was a lot of fun. And it was like, I knew it was going to happen. But when it happened, it was like 5 hours into it. So I had completely forgot. And, you know, minding my own business, and all of a sudden, like, oh my God,
it's happening.
Gritty's here, you know, out of nowhere. Yeah.
Cool.
So that was a lot of fun. That's what I've been doing. What have you been up to?
The past weekend was Mother's Day.
Oh yeah, that too.
Yeah. Right. Sorry, Mrs. Costanzo. Apparently you didn't get Mother's Day.
No, she doesn't rank when it comes to Gritty. Sorry. But what did you do for Mother's Day?
I just realized something. Gritty must have came to your wedding and then must have flown to New York City because he got the Webby Award for like best new online creation
I hate to break it to you, Rich, but they probably have multiple Gritties.
Shh. We're not. Like, no.
It's like Santa Claus, Rich.
Shh. Be quiet. There's one Gritty.
Okay.
Believe in the one Gritty. If that's the Gritty Almighty.
If that's what helps you sleep at
Flyers
night.
Hockey.
Are you doing a prayer?
Maybe.
It sounded like a prayer.
One day
we will all bow to Gritty.
We will pray to Lord Stanley, and we will hold his cup.
He will.
We will drink out of his cup.
There you go. Take this cup, for it is my ice shavings.
Yes, and it will represent the championship of a city that needs one.
Gritty will embrace us in his orange fuzziness.
Amen.
So anyway, did you do anything?
Mother's Day. This is my turn, yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about Mother's Day, and then immediately
went back to Gritty.
See, there's just this pull to him.
Sorry.
You know?
No, so it was Mother's Day. My mom and I went out to dinner, and then we went to the casino, because why not?
Why not?
Yeah,
you can definitely tell that you're related.
Yeah.
In case anybody was wondering.
Yeah. So you
went to the casino.
Yeah, why not? Have
That's
some fun.
Nice. That's awesome.
The only thing I don't get is she still likes to play like the slot machines and the video poker machines, and I'm like,
those are like statistically the worst ones to play, right?
Yeah, because they're programmed against you. Like,
yeah, it's a computer. You're not going to beat the computer program,
right? Like at least like when you go to a table game, you know,
you have the illusion of control,
right? Yeah, there's the cards, the dice, the balls. They can swing, you know, either way in terms of luck. Whereas the ones that are based on a machine are actually...
It's always going to be weighted.
Yeah, it's always... Yeah, so, I don't know. I never find... I don't know. In my opinion, I go straight to the tables. It's more fun. It's also more social. Like, you're with people, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I always find it better to go to the tables, personally.
But. It's more fun to watch the people at the tables... Because the people at the slot machines are just kind of sad. They just sit there and keep pulling the lever. But the people at the tables, like I like watching people at the roulette wheel because they think they've cracked some like Da Vinci-esque code, right?
What?
Where they're like moving around.
Of course
all these single chips everywhere. And they're like doing calculations in their head. You know, the math formulas are whizzing by, you know, in the background of their head. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? It's not rocket science, but yeah, it's just funny to watch them and how they're trying to strategize this game of chance. It's just very...
Yes, if we move, the ball bounces three spots over here and then bounces a fifth time as it goes into the wheel, then it must be a number divisible by six.
Sure, yes.
Don't you see the pattern, Mike?
Yes, it's the Fibonacci sequence.
Yes, the Fibonacci, yes. 1, 2, 3... I can't do math. 5, 8. It's coming out.
Yes, of course. It's like the Holy Trinity.
Yes.
Even though you clearly listed more than three numbers.
33 is coming out next.
Yeah, so.
Matthew wrote the third book of the gospel. It must be a number divisible by 3.
John 3:16. 6. 3 goes into 6 2 times. The secret number is 2.
Bet even.
So yeah, people are doing that at the roulette wheel.
Yes.
And I mean, clearly it like never works for them. They always lose more than they make.
But why do they keep coming back to the table?
Because gambling. But
we're gonna crack the code.
Was that you? Did you bust out your formulas? Did you?
No, when I come to a roulette table, I just bet red or black. It's the simplest.
You have the best chance of winning there.
Yeah, it's your best chance of winning, and it's just it's simple. You get to enjoy the table. You get to enjoy the drinks. There's no thought that really goes into it.
Yeah. I've only played the roulette wheel a handful of times, but I've always ended up winning. So just by betting red or black.
There you go. So stick
and
with that.
I'm cheap and scared, so I always leave as soon as I go up. So I'm cheap. I don't like to watch my money disappear.
Yes. Poor Mike.
No, not poor me. The opposite of poor, because I save my money.
But Mike will never go into a casino.
I've been in casinos. I just don't.
Barely.
Yes, barely. I don't like the idea of just like spending my money on nothing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's a very bizarre feeling for me. But you guys, if you have fun doing it, then that's all that matters.
Yes. So happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
There you go. That was
did you guys end up winning?
Around we broke even, actually. So that's a win,
that's
in my
good.
Opinion.
Yeah, because you didn't lose any money.
Yeah.
So
you
went
think that's
in,
a win.
You had a good time. You came out and you basically didn't spend any money doing it.
Yeah. So take that.
Take that, odds.
Yeah. Never tell me the odds.
That's right. Because Rich will beat them.
Right.
Or at least match them.
Okay. That's good. I'll take that. So speaking of betting and everything, I think that's a good transition into something that you can bet, which is the world of sports. And that leads us into our first news topic. It is the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Oh, yeah. Sports coming at you in your face here in this first part of the show. And we're going to hit a topic in 2 minutes or less in the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. The clock is armed and go.
All right. This week in the two-minute drill, we have a little bit of football news. What else? While the Philadelphia Eagles recently made some minor free agency moves this week, adding depth to two key positions. First, they signed quarterback Cody Kessler. He's probably going to just be a camp arm. The Eagles just drafted a quarterback. They really like Nate Sudfeld. I don't see this guy pushing for a roster spot, right?
Yeah, or maybe it's just like having that veteran presence in case something happens.
That's also true. Hey, who knows? Freak accident happens with Clayton Thorson or with Nate Sudfeld. This guy can step in.
Yeah.
So it's always good to have a little bit of security at the quarterback position. But another key position that's good to have a lot of security at, and this one, I think, could actually see some game action. The Eagles brought back offensive lineman Stefan Wisniewski to serve as a backup guard and center. Wisniewski, of course, was part of the Eagles Super Bowl winning team. And I think he's a solid starter and a good backup option should the need arise. This is good depth at a position where I think we really needed it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what was the original conditions of his release. I think he wanted to see if there was any other favorable contracts he could cash in on, but yeah, I guess not.
He just wanted to test the market, and the market said, no thanks.
Yeah,
we don't need a backup. So he came back
home. Come back home.
Yeah, come back home on the cheap, which is, I mean, I think that's a win-win. You know,
yeah.
He gets to come back to a playoff-contending team, and we get a decent backup for relatively little money. Somebody who could play multiple positions along the line. So that's a win-win-win in my book.
Yeah, so with these two signings, I mean, I think we generally agree, you know. The Cody one, I think, is just more just to have a veteran presence and the camp arm. I have an extra camp arm, so
yeah.
I can see that too. So all in all, solid work from Howie the genius himself.
It's not flashy, but it gets the job done, and that's what we need right now.
Yeah, you know, his picks are never overly sexy, at least usually, but they're usually for the right reason. So
yeah.
Thank you, Howie, and Howie, we trust. There you go. And we satisfy Mike's football quotient during the
offseason.
I had
to get a little bit in before these next two topics. They're not ones that I know a lot about, but we got to talk about them. Some big news recently in the Philadelphia area.
Well, yeah, we got to talk basketball. Oh, yeah. Of course, when we can talk basketball, I can bring up the classic NBA music because...
Yeah.
I don't know why they ever left from this. This gets me pumped up all the time. Woo!
Unfortunately, there wasn't really a lot to be pumped up about, was there?
What?
Well, I mean, you heard, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this?
I mean, I guess we kind of have to, don't we?
Really have to relive this?
We do. We do have to relive the Sixers' heartbreaking Game 7 loss. I mean, it was just... awful.
Yeah. So what I'm going to say is First off, the Sixers kind of blew this series already when they lost game four, when they could have went up 3-1.
Yeah.
And they let the Raptors win on the road, which tied the series up at 2-2. And then they won game five, so then the Sixers had to fight back to force a game seven. You know, it's moments like that where, you know, that makes or breaks you. You know, that should have been the moment you kept the pedal to the metal and you go up 3-1 and take a commanding lead.
Yeah, I think they go up 3-1 in that game four, and I think we're having a completely different conversation right now.
Yeah.
Instead, they had their backs against the wall, and they had to fight back, and it just wasn't enough. They couldn't stop Kawhi Leonard.
No.
I mean, Jesus, he just tore us to bits.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard, I think, has now moved himself into the discussion of being the best NBA player, overall NBA player.
He's definitely up there. He eviscerated
us. He willed that team to beat the Sixers.
Yeah.
He was just unstoppable.
And I mean, oh my gosh, that final shot.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was against us, but that's the stuff that, like,
legends
are written about. I mean, buzzer beater, but not only was it a buzzer beater, but it's this shot that he's, like, falling backwards on the perimeter, and it bounces four times before going in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just fate right there.
Yeah.
You know? They played a great game. It just wasn't enough.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just a shame because you just look back over that series and you're just like, oh, God, the Sixers could have won it there, could have won it here. They got off to a really slow start in the first quarter of Game 7. You know, if they had just a couple of those shots go in the first quarter, maybe it would have been a different flow throughout the rest of the game. And it's just, it's a shame. You just look back at all the wasted opportunities that the Sixers had.
Yeah.
And now they're out of the playoffs. And unfortunately, it's the same round that they were at last year. So it's not even an improvement, technically.
Yeah, it's one of those tricky situations where it's like you match what you did. So are you getting better? Are you getting worse? We don't really know yet.
Yep. And we also have a bigger problem on our hands for the Sixers. Because for the next season, for the 2019-2020 season, Embiid, Butler, and Simmons are signed, but Tobias Harris is not. J.J. Redick is not. So that's two key pieces that they're going to have to decide, do we bring back, and do you bring back for a large contract? A guy like Tobias Harris is going to ask for a big contract, 26 years old, going into his prime.
Yeah. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, NBA has a soft cap or something like that they pay.
Yeah, you have to pay a luxury cap if you go over the cap limit.
If they really want to complete the process, I mean, we're a big market team. It's not like we're chump change over here. They probably have the capital, the resources to pay whatever penalty there is to sign these key players, at least for another few years, you know, just to try and get something more out of them, you know, make it back to the same round of the playoffs and lose.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Well, no, I'm saying like you made it back to the same point twice. So you really have to decide, you know, if you just bite the bullet and pay the penalties that maybe another year together, another year developing, they might be able to push past it. If you don't put down the money now, then we won't know. You know? And what would they move on from those people to? You know, is there anybody better out there that they could bring in for less?
I mean, you never know. There's always free agency and the draft, of course, coming up. But I don't think they're going to be making any moves there. I think the problem is going to be Tobias Harris. I think Tobias Harris is going to ask for a large contract. 26 years old, like, a quality fourth player.
This is the thing that always annoys me about these teams that employ these soft cap things. Just pay the penalty.
They can.
You can buy yourself a championship like the Yankees do. Just
like
pay,
the Warriors.
Like the Warriors. Just pay the penalty. Just pay the money.
Well,
what are your other options? Let them walk and then what?
Well, it depends on if the Sixers are willing to open up the wallet and pay the luxury cap penalty.
They should have gone out and gotten LeBron when they had the chance.
Don't even joke that, because there's been trade talks that they want that these loonies are like, trade Ben Simmons for LeBron James. Get out of here. It's not going to happen.
Ben Simmons didn't do anything.
But it's still Ben Simmons.
But he didn't do anything.
Don't trade him for LeBron. It's not going to happen. Please don't.
No, just sign. Just tell the Lakers to cut him and then sign him for as much as he wants.
Well, you know what? They could in our follow-up segment here with the NBA, because we also had literally NBA draft lottery happening this week, which is also weird. Why would you NBA is so weird. Why would you put like a
every
nice
sport
event
is dumb except for football?
Why would you put like a draft lottery event in the middle of the playoffs?
Every sport,
okay,
is dumb.
Yes,
except for football.
I know I'm feeding into Mike's ego, but anyway, the point is,
come on. I mean, like really, really. You mentioned I didn't realize they did this. They do it behind closed doors.
Well, yeah, they don't actually show the ping pong balls in action.
So how do we know they're even having a lottery?
Right.
They're not just picking, they're not just randomly assigning teams whatever they feel like.
Yes. Welcome to the draft conspiracy theorists. Come on over here.
I'm usually not one to drink the conspiracy theory Kool-Aid, but at least football is open about it. This is your record. There's a series of tiebreaker things that determine your ranking, and that's the pick you get.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It's not any of this shrouded in secrecy behind closed doors, big basketball. You know, I really just sound like one of those Looney Tunes. I'm channeling my inner Alex Jones or my inner Gunnar Starr.
Yeah, where's
now.
Gunnar Starr when we need him?
Damn basketball. Damn basketball.
Oh, he's back.
It was created by communists. Passing the ball around. What is this? Passing the buck? You're just going to share amongst everybody? Everybody wants an equal part. Everybody needs to get a little piece of the basketball. No. Wrong. I don't know how or why, but it's wrong.
Next question.
Thank you, Gunnar Starr.
Yeah, thank
Goodbye.
You, Gunnar. Wow.
How did you even get in here? Go.
Haven't seen
get
Gunnar
out of
Starr.
Here.
It's good to see him again.
Crazy guy. But anyway. It's stupid. Tell me how it's stupid.
So unlike football and other leagues where the worst teams automatically get the first overall pick in the upcoming draft, the NBA does the draft lottery where they put all of the teams with the worst records into a lottery system with ping pong balls, and then randomly, wink, wink, they choose who's going to get the number one overall pick, number two, number three, number four,
right,
and move on from there. Despite this team having the seventh worst record in the season last year, somehow the New Orleans Pelicans earned the number one overall draft pick.
Manny, look at this Pelican fly. Come on, Pelican.
Yeah, look at the Pelicans fly.
Manny, look at this Pelican fly. Come on, Pelican.
So congratulations to the Pelicans. They somehow earned their way to the number one spot. And this is huge because now it looks like they will draft a highly coveted prospect, Zion Williamson from Duke.
Is that the guy that exploded out of his shoes? Or am I thinking of something else?
Exploded out of a shoe? Probably.
Wasn't there a player in March Madness that like exploded out of a shoe and he meant to make like a cut or something? No?
Maybe.
Guys.
I don't know. I'm sure you're probably a video of it. Anyway, the point is Zion Williamson of Duke is viewed as another one of these like rare elite talents. He's, you know, he's projected to be like the top player. If he develops right, he's going to be like the top player of the 2020s kind of deal.
Wow.
And
yeah, but how many times have we heard that before?
Yeah, well, we'll see. The point is the Pelicans lucked their way into having this amazing opportunity, to land this coveted player, Zion from Duke. And it should have went. I mean, if we were going to do what all the other leagues do, the worst record last year was the Knicks.
Yeah.
And the Knicks ended up with the third overall pick. Another conspiracy theory, the Lakers had the 11th worst NBA record, and somehow they ended up with the fourth overall draft pick.
That's not right. That's not right that you're not even in the bottom third of teams, and you end up with a top five pick. That is insane.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
But unfortunately, these are the real ramifications of having a draft lottery
in
the NBA. And they say that it's designed to keep teams from tanking, which I don't think it does. I think teams still tank.
Clearly not, because that was the Sixers' MO for like five straight seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, the process. So, I don't know. It's one of those things I think we talk about every year when this happens, but I just hate it. It should do like every other team. It should be the team with the worst records get the first overall pick.
Can you
the
ever?
The Knicks finished last year with only 17 wins. They need an overall. They need Zion. They're the ones that need Zion.
That's why that drafts are typically designed the way that they are. to give the really bad teams a chance to get stellar talent to help keep parity within the league. That's why basketball is so bad with this parity thing. It's always the same teams that make it.
Yeah,
for the most part. Like, the where are the Warriors? They're still in it, right?
Oh, yeah. The Warriors are going to win again this year, by the way.
Right.
Oh, by the way, that leads me to... Oh, that's a perfect side note to a random thing I wanted to mention. The Houston Rockets suck. All right?
Okay.
The Houston Rockets, why? James Harden and his stupid beard, they need the... I don't know. That whole team, I don't want to hear any complaints from them anymore. All right?
Mad over there, Rich?
Yes, I am. Because...
What did the Rockets do to you?
Because the Houston Rockets have always complained that, oh, if we weren't in the Western Conference, we would be NBA fin. We would be Western Con. We would be in the NBA Finals.
Right.
Right. But they keep running into the Warriors. They have that mantra.
Right.
We're actually just as good as them. We just run into them earlier because we're in the same conference. Okay. Guess what? They go into their series again with the Warriors. All right. They're down 3-2 in the series, going into Game 6. But Kevin Durant, one of the league's best players and the scoring threat on that Warriors team, goes down with an ankle sprain.
Right.
All right. That Game 6 is in Houston. Stephon Curry, the first half of Game 6, they shut him down. 0 points.
Wow.
In the first half.
That is impressive.
What do you think happens?
I'm assuming they probably lost, judging by your tone.
You had everything going for you that you possibly could to force a Game 7 and prove the whole, oh, we're just as good as the Warriors mantra. And no, you still lost to them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what good teams do. They put up, you know?
I'm sorry. Houston, you have no room to complain. The Rockets, I don't want to hear any complaining after this series, all right? They had the chance to force a Game 7 and potentially make the Warriors sweat a little bit before they make it to the Western Conference Finals. But no, they still choke it away. James Harden and his stupid beard, cut it out, get out of here.
And his stupid beard. I think it's really you're just upset over the beard.
Yes, because he keeps his beard silly long and then his hair is short. You know, it's like it's so improperly imbalanced. His beard looks like there's birds coming out of it.
Hold on, I gotta look up a picture of him now. I gotta see. Because you're very upset over this.
I just
His beard is very...
It's very thick.
It is very... It's like straight, it's awkwardly thick.
You could get lost in it.
It is really thick, you're right. That's a lot of beard.
Anyway, the point is, after this debacle, I don't want to hear any complaints from Houston Rockets fans, alright? You had your chance. And you couldn't do it with all these advantages.
Yeah, put up or shut up, right?
Yeah. God, James Harden. Yeah. Just does anybody just want to even contend against the Warriors? Why do we even have the playoffs? Let's just have the Warriors win the damn thing already.
Well, I mean, LeBron was doing a pretty good job of it, but nobody liked it when he did it, so he decided to go to the Lakers and suck.
Yeah, I mean, it sucked. Don't even make the playoffs.
I can't defend them there. Really, they had a terrible season.
Anyway, that's why the Houston Rockets suck.
But circle back. Just buy yourself a championship.
Yeah,
pay
that's
the
right.
Pay
Warriors.
The luxury tax penalty, whatever it is.
Yeah, the Warriors do it, so why not?
Anyway, you're going to stress yourself out too much. You need to talk about something calming, like this next topic. You're very excited for it.
Yes.
Golf news.
Yes, it's yes, that's right. In the middle of all this mayhem, the PGA Championship has been moved up. Remember this story? We talked about it a couple months ago. The PGA Championship now happens in May. So now we have a major each month until July. Isn't it great, Mike?
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Woo! Let's have some fun. Yeah.
Yeah. The
watch
rip-roaring good time of golf. So,
well, we got nothing else to watch in Philadelphia now.
That's true, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So what are the big storylines with the going into the PGA Championship?
Well, obviously, the big question is, can Tiger Woods repeat the success that he had at Augusta?
Wouldn't that be incredible?
Right. So, as always, I decide to turn to Vegas to see who they think is going to win.
And I mean, who knows better?
That's right. Cue up the gambling music. They do have, right now, Tiger Woods listed as an 8-1 favorite.
Okay.
So
he's just coming off a win,
right?
Makes
obviously
sense, right?
Makes sense. But not too far behind him is Dustin Johnson at 10-1.
He's always up there.
Yeah, But he hasn't won a major in a while, so I would like to see him clinch one at some point.
He's
this
the
year.
One that fell down the stairs, right?
Yeah, last
okay.
year.
Yeah. He's still afraid of him.
Yeah. Then we have Brooks Koepka. That's okay. always a good. That's always a fun name to say. Brooks Koepka at 10-1 as well.
He won recently, right? Within the last year or two,
he's the defending PGA champion.
Oh well, there you go.
Yeah, but so, it's funny because it's not a full year because they moved the PGA Championship.
Right,
up.
Right.
So it's funny. He's technically the defending champion at this. Then we've got Rory McIlroy at 12-1.
That's a name we haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, but we'll see if he can do if he can change that. Ricky Fowler, 16-1.
Okay.
Justin Rose and John Rahm at 18-1. The Italian, Francesco Molinari, 20-1. Bryson DeChambeau at 25-1. Jason nope. Day at 25-1. And Xander Schauffele, 25-1.
Those are some names I haven't heard. I mean, Jason Day we have, but the other two, yeah. I don't think we've ever talked about them.
They're up-and-comers.
Okay.
Tommy Fleetwood Mac, 26-1. Jordan Spieth, kind of in a little bit of a funk.
Wow.
And Vegas also declaring it so. Jordan Spieth at 30-1.
That's really far down for him.
Yeah. Then we rounded out with Tony Finau at 30-1. Matt Kuchar at 40-1. Patrick Reed at 40-1. Hideki Matsuyama, 40-1. And Patrick Cantlay at 40-1. He had an impressive showing at Augusta. So that's who Vegas is keeping an eye on. For the PGA Championship.
It's interesting. I don't have to ask where's Tiger anymore.
No, you don't. He's right now at the top.
What a world we live in.
Yeah.
That's completely different a year ago.
Boy, would it be something if he's able to pull off a Masters and a PGA Championship in the same year?
I mean, they'd definitely make a movie out of his story.
Yeah.
If that happens.
It is one of his favorite courses. They're playing at Bethpage Black on Long Island, so... it does favor Woods' playing style, but we'll see.
So, yeah, I mean, if he goes into it, just keeping his nerves in check and playing smart, if it's a favorable course, there's no reason why he can't contend.
That's right. So that's probably what I'll be doing this weekend then, is keeping an eye on the PGA Championship, and who knows, maybe we see another major out of Tiger or one of those other golfers that we kept an eye on. Maybe the Italian wins, Francesco Molinari. You gonna place a bet on him?
probably not.
No,
because again, I don't like losing my money.
Come
on. I'm like
on.
A dragon hoarding his gold over here.
Yeah, come on. You gotta have some fun with it.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, we gotta wrap up the sports sampler. But don't go anywhere because we still got the entertainment entree, and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Plenty more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hi, I'm game show host Todd Newton from Whammy, Family Game Night, Hollywood Showdown, and more. And I don't know if you've heard about the 24-hour game show marathon. It's happening June 8th out of the great city of Philadelphia. And this is where four super fans come together to recreate 24 of their favorite game shows. It's really cool. But they're not just doing it to have a good time. They're doing it to raise some money for a great cause, Child's Play. It really helps out children and families that could use a little assistance. If you'd like to donate, please go to GameShowMarathon.com. GameShowMarathon.com. And it is there where you can watch all of the festivities again on June 8th from Philadelphia. We appreciate your support. And long live game shows, baby.
Oh, yeah. We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler. I got to admit, you know, it was a rough week for being a Philly fan. With the Sixers going out in a heartbreaking fashion. But you know what? We got time to move forward now with golf and the Phillies. I'm sure the Phillies will have a decent season.
Yeah, this should be all right.
Yeah, so that'll lift our spirits up.
And then football starts again.
Right, there you go. Mike will be happy when football's. When officially do you consider you're back in the swing of things? Is it when training camp starts?
Not quite, because then it's still a lot of puff pieces in the new circuit. It's really preseason where things really start to ramp up.
Okay.
Training camp, it's like everyone's like, oh, they did training.
Nobody cares.
There's a spurt during free agency and the draft, and then it quiets down until preseason for me.
Okay, so until then, Mike won't be happy. But summer...
I'll just be glum the entire time.
Right. But we still have the Phillies to look forward to, and we'll see how well they do. And golf! Woo! All right, golf!
There you go.
But let's leave the sports world and officially transition into the second part of our show, where we go over movies, TV, and video game news. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
What was that? That was such a brief clip.
Yes.
Pepsi Man.
Is that Pepsi Man?
Yes.
What is the point of all this?
Oh, Mike, I'm glad you asked. Here on the Entertainment Entree.
Pepsi Man.
So if you follow the angry video game nerd like I do, his latest episode that came out last week revolves around the promotional video game called Pepsi Man.
Promotional video game.
Yes.
Called Pepsi Man. I've never heard of this one.
Pepsi Man!
Is that actually from the game, or is it...
Pepsi Man!
Yes. And it is just a bizarre freak of nature that this game got created. First off, it was only for Japan. Okay. It was, yeah, even though...
I guess they needed to boost sales in just one specific territory.
Yes. Because even though this is an American product, this game was made for the Japanese PlayStation 1 audience back in the late 90s. I guess they needed more Pepsi.
Pepsi Man.
So it came out on the PlayStation 1, and it literally is just pure marketing, just everything Pepsi. The superhero that you play as is Pepsi Man.
Pepsi Man!
No!
Yes.
I thought that would have been the villain.
Yes. And the video game nerd explains it perfectly. There's like all these tragedies that happen, and people aren't focused on the tragedies, but rather they're focused, how are they going to get their Pepsi? So that's when they turn their attention to the great Pepsi Man.
So, like, when you say these tragedies, like what, like a car explodes?
Yeah, one was like a bus overturned, and they're like, everybody's okay, but we need our Pepsi!
Oh my.
Pepsi Man!
I mean, when you've just been in a horrific accident, you need something of a pickup, you know, a little bit of a pick-me-up.
Yes.
Which is Pepsi.
Yeah, you gotta have, I guess, in gotta, this case. Gotta have that Pepsi.
Pepsi Man!
And like another one was like the city computer grid is shutting down, so the city though still needs their Pepsi.
I mean, if you don't have power, I guess the second best thing is Pepsi.
Yeah, but they both start with P's. Power Pepsi.
That's a very tenuous connection, but I guess that was all the marketing team could come up with.
Yes. Nevertheless, I just want to throw it out there. It's a great episode. It really just shows you how bizarre some marketing ploys go.
Well, the 90s in general was a bizarre time.
Yes, it was. But if you need to have a quick laugh and you got like about 20 minutes to kill, go to the Angry Video Game Nerds channel and watch this new episode he has about the Pepsi Man video game. It's hysterical. Pepsi Man! And now I have the sound clip. I never thought I would need a Pepsi Man jingle sound clip. So whenever I have it, it's at the ready now.
Yeah. Oh, so many. Pepsi Man! So many uses.
That's what you think, Mike.
I can envision all two of them. So, I'm sure you'll find a way to shoehorn them in there.
Yes, exactly. So there you go. That's our random sound clip of the week. And shout out to Angry Video Game Nerd for just, I don't know, I just always find his stuff very entertaining. He always finds these like crazy oddball games. And
his stuff is really good.
Yeah, so go check it out when you get a chance. But speaking of things that you need to check out, Mike has the complete list of things you have to check out with movies, video games, and television this week in Mike's This Week in Entertainment. Yes, so grab your Pepsi and go do what Mike tells you to do in Mike's This Week in Entertainment. What do you have?
Well, first up in theaters, we have The Souvenir is a new drama that is winning over lots of critics. The description reads, quote, a shy film student begins finding her voice as an artist while navigating a turbulent courtship with a charismatic but untrustworthy man. She defies her protective mother and concerned friends as she slips deeper and deeper into an intense, emotionally fraught relationship, which comes dangerously close to destroying her dreams. The film has a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 91% on Metacritic. The critical consensus on Rotten Tomatoes is that The Souvenir is a uniquely impactful coming-of-age drama. It doesn't look like it's getting a very large release, but if you do have the opportunity to see it, you absolutely should. It seems really interesting. Nice, tense character drama. Go check it out. That's The Souvenir in theaters this week. In video games, A Plague Tale: Innocence is a new action-adventure stealth game set during the Hundred Years' War and the Black Death in France. Players take the role of a girl and her young brother, who has a mysterious illness, as they flee from the Inquisition. Players use stealth, the environment, and puzzles to avoid combat and find ways to get around swarms of plague rats. Critics are heaping praise on the game. Oh, go ahead. Play rats.
I really should. Yeah, you should give me a heads up on that.
I know. I saw you were like, ooh, rats. but yeah, critics are heaping praise on the game, calling out its story, the grim tone, and the game's focus on a lengthy and linear single-player campaign.
Yes, we're returning back to Ghost.
It all roads lead to Ghost.
Yes, go ahead. Keep talking.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, this game looks really good. It came out of left field. It's one of those, like, double A releases. It's not AAA. It's not an indie. It's right in the middle. Has really good production value. It's got an 8, like an 80 on Metacritic, so it's doing really well with the critics. Definitely go check it out. That's A Plague Tale: Innocence, coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC this week.
Yeah, so you can play this game and then kick on your Spotify and put on Ghost.
That's right. And then after Ghost, put on the podcast and another podcast.
Perfect.
And then more Ghost and then another podcast.
I think you've got the perfect lineup.
We've got it all figured out.
If you're not doing anything this weekend, there you go.
So there you go. A Plague Tale: Innocence. And now talk about TV. There's one big thing that we got to talk about in TV.
Yes,
I
know,
Mike.
Game
of Thrones.
Go ahead.
Series finale airs this Sunday on HBO at 9 p.m. Winter came. We've witnessed fire and blood. We've learned that all men must die and what people will do for love. We've lost loved characters to war, to others, and to themselves. We've seen oaths kept and oaths broken. We've cheered and jeered and mourned and theorized. 10 years of high-stakes politicking, tender character moments, and some of the greatest twists and turns in TV history, and the grandest battles ever finally come down to this moment. But one question remains. Who will take the Iron Throne when the smoke clears and the last moves are played? I am so ready for this series finale. Nothing like this in television has ever been seen through to completion on this. I mean, the scope and the scale of it. I always go on and on about the scope and the scale. It's just the number of characters, the number of locations, the number of battles. It's just mind-boggling, and I'm really excited for it, and I know that the ending is going to make a lot of people really angry, just like the past few episodes have, But unfortunately, that's how it happens sometimes with these big series.
So the last season hasn't been well received by critics?
It's been very divisive amongst fans. There are two very strong camps. One camp that thinks that they're undoing everything they did in the previous seven seasons, and the other camp that thinks that those people are nitpicking and that everything that has happened has been clearly demonstrated since the beginning. So, I don't know. Well, I know what camp I'm a part of. I still think it's really good.
Okay.
So, but then again, I'm generally an optimist when it comes to these things. But, yeah, if you guys want to talk Game of Thrones, hit me up.
Yes.
Because I can't talk about it here because Rich hasn't seen it.
I
and
know.
I am
I
desperate.
Missed the boat.
I am committed to not spoiling it for Rich because I really am holding out hope that one day maybe
I'm gonna binge
he'll get sick to binge watch the whole thing.
Yes, that's the only way I'm gonna ever watch it because that's how I got through Breaking Bad. I was sick a whole week with a stomach bug, and I got through Breaking Bad. I hit a season a day.
Wow.
So
that is intense.
Yeah.
That's a lot of TV watching.
That's the only way I'd ever get through something like Game of Thrones.
Yeah. It's definitely a longer series compared to most. I think it's, what, over, I think it's 70-some episodes, all an hour.
That's too much.
An hour to an hour and a half long. It's a lot of TV. It's a big commitment. But it's really good. So there you go. Game of Thrones series finale this Sunday on HBO. Go check it out. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment. Along this week in entertainment.
Yes.
But I needed to give it a little bit of room.
But, you know, speaking of just massive media corporations, this is a good transition into our weekly update on Disney. It seems like this is what it is now.
It really is weekly.
This is my life. Great.
When you wish upon a streaming service, Disney acquired a full operational control.
What a transition by Mike.
Disney...
Wow, please present him the
when
Webby Award for a transition.
Upon... Yeah, yes. Please do so right now, immediately. I demand it. But no, seriously, the big headline, Disney acquired full operational control over streaming service Hulu. We knew it was happening. AT&T sold their little measly 10% stake. So Disney rolls up to Comcast and they're like, hey, Comcast.
Bam.
What you gonna do? They just whipped it out, plopped it down. They're like, sell us your stake. And Comcast was like,
yeah,
no.
They whipped out their divisional shares.
Yes. But so
they whipped out their Disney shares.
Yes. They whipped out the Disney shares. But
they whipped out their dividends.
Lots of D words. But let's go over the details. Of the deal, because it's not as simple as Comcast or as Disney just buying Comcast stake. Here's what happens. Comcast basically says, we don't want to fight you. You can run Hulu however you see fit. They are ceding operational control, but they're keeping their 33% ownership until 2024. So what they're kind of hoping is that let Disney do their thing. Let them make it this monolithic, mega successful thing. And we'll just reap 33% of all the money that they bring in until 2024, at which point either party can force a purchase of Comcast's remaining shares. So in 2024, NBC, Universal, Comcast, they'll be like, Disney, you have to buy us out. And Disney will be like, okay. Or Disney can be like, hey, we're going to buy you out. Either way, that 33% will go to Disney in 2024. But what happens until then? Because Comcast is planning on doing their own streaming service. So they've also reached part of the deal that will keep the content on NBC's content on Hulu through 2022 at the minimum, at which point Comcast can start pulling back shows or renegotiating distribution contracts. This was going to happen regardless because NBC wanted to start their own streaming service. So just to get ahead of everybody saying that Disney is pushing them out or Disney is, you know, going to lose all these great shows, it's NBC was going this way anyway. This is all, you know, to further their own streaming service. But 2022 is the day or the year that will begin happening. But just to give you an idea of how successful Disney and Comcast think this is going to be, the valuation of the deals, both parties anticipate Hulu's net worth to double in 5 years. That is astronomical.
Okay, so invest in Hulu then.
invest. Well, I mean, it's too late to invest in Disney because I'm sure their stock prices are skyrocketing now. But yeah, invest in one of these companies because this is a huge deal, and this is one that we saw coming, one that we predicted, and one that is more and more regularly talked about in terms of being Disney's home for their adult content. They give examples like Planet of the Apes, Deadpool, those Fox movies that they acquired. They really don't have any space for them in the traditional Disney ecosystem.
Yeah, in the Disney Plus lineup.
You don't think of Deadpool when you think of Disney. So they're like, well, we need somewhere to put this amazingly popular franchise. Let's just buy a streaming service. And that's basically what they did.
Yeah.
But you know, it's better than saying we're not going to do it, because they could have done that too. They could have said we're not going to do Deadpool
anymore. That was my fear. They're going to stop any R-rated or mature film franchises or TV franchises.
Yeah. So this should quell some of those fears, at least they're giving an outlet for these things. It also gives them a lot of opportunity to experiment with stuff. You keep the Disney stuff on Disney Plus, and you put the weird stuff on Hulu. You know, you put the horror shows and the R-rated shows and the Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, all the stuff I want to watch.
Right. Now that you have a Hulu subscription.
Yeah, perfect timing. Because
everybody likes to pretend that Disney is some, like, they only care about the kiddie stuff, but they're not going to give up a show like The Handmaid's Tale, which won Emmys and gets huge critical acclaim and is a big draw for Hulu. They're not just going to stop that. You know, that's not in their MO.
They still want to make money.
Right, to pass on good content. They're not in the business of giving up on good money-making content. So I fully expect to see Hulu thrive under Disney. And there's rumors now starting already that they're planning on potentially offering a bundle of Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus all together for one monthly fee. There's a lot of things here that make really good sense for Disney from a business perspective, and also makes sense for content consumers. You know, instead of Hulu slowly dying a painful death because it loses money every year, now there's a possibility that it gets to stick around and has a good flow of content. And if you're concerned about the NBC shows, that's on NBC. They want to do their own streaming service, so take it up with them. That's all the rage nowadays. Everybody has their own streaming service. CBS, NBC wants to get in on it. FX tried their own little thing.
Should we do a streaming service?
I mean, why not? The Crispy Noodle streaming service.
The adventures of Mike Costanzo. He has to season one. He has to make the sausages. Find out how he makes the sausages every January.
It's just a 22-episode season of me turning the sausage crank. People just tune in. They're just ravenous to see how many sausages I can churn out that week. I win the Emmy. It's a whirlwind story. And then there's the documentary of the show. Yes. Of course. It's the making of the sausage making.
Right.
It doesn't get more meta than that. Yeah. And then you have the parody about the making of the making of.
That's three shows.
That's three. I could fill an entire... You watch, Rich.
There you go.
Do not underestimate my ability to BS lackluster creative endeavors.
Yeah, there we go, right there.
I can absolutely do it.
How many shows do you think we need to start a streaming platform? There's three right there.
I mean, Netflix did it with House of Cards and nothing else at the start.
Yeah,
so
here we go.
Why not? Yeah, there we go. We got our sausage making show. It's going to be a hit.
That's all we need.
But anyway, so yeah, this is really big news. Big news that we saw coming, but big news nonetheless. So be on the lookout for the new and reinvigorated Hulu run. Or Disney-run Hulu, coming soon. But that's not the only Disney news we have to get to. And this, Rich, you should be very excited about. There's some little tidbits of the first Star Wars film after Rise of the Skywalker coming out. And the big news here is that they've announced who's going to be helming the project. And that is, of course, Game of Thrones showrunners David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. This is really great news. These guys did a fantastic job of adapting the Game of Thrones series. People like to crap all over them recently for the last two seasons, but I still think compared to a lot of TV, it's still a lot better than the vast majority out there. Not to mention, they gave us five of the very best seasons of any television ever in the first four seasons and season six of Game of Thrones. So I think the new Star Wars films are in very good hands. One would argue that they sort of went lackluster the last two seasons because they wanted to hurry up and get to Star Wars. So that should be a positive sign. They're eager to get into it and get
going.
That's
good.
With it.
Yeah,
yeah.
They wanted to jump from the Game of Thrones arena to Star Wars. So yay!
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're kind of killing Game of Thrones to go to Star Wars, but whatever. You know, it's they've had a good 8-year run or 10-year run with Game of Thrones. So I guess they're just getting tired.
Yeah. So as somebody who doesn't know Game of Thrones, but someone that loves Star Wars, should I be excited then? Because these two guys have done a pretty good job.
Absolutely. I think overall, you take their body of work on Game of Thrones, and they've done a lot more good and great stuff than they have lackluster stuff. Yes, the last two seasons haven't been as good, but again, I think that's because they really want to be done with it.
And also, the books aren't finished, right?
And the books aren't finished, and George R. R. Martin was like, here's three main plot points. Good luck. And they had to fill in the gaps. This is not what they signed up for. 10 years ago, The Winds of Winter, which is the sixth book, was supposed to come out around that same time when this was getting going, you know, within a few years of the show starting. And then they would have had George R. R. Martin work with them through the last book and the last few seasons. That never happened. The sixth book never came out. The seventh book isn't even like an idea yet. So George R. R. Martin said, here's the three key plot points that I'm going to hit in the last two novels. You know, connect the dots. He gave them an outline, you know.
And then you got to take it away.
Yeah. So
to be fair, that's probably what Disney's going to do here. Here's three characters we want to promote for this 2022 Star Wars film. Make a story.
Well, see, here's the thing. We don't really know. Are they going to borrow from new expanded universe stuff that's coming out? Are they going to create something brand new? Or are they going to continue on from whatever Rise of the Skywalker is?
Yeah.
It's still a lot of
it
mystery.
It could be.
It could be 10, 11, 12.
The fact that they specifically said that this is going to be three films, 2022, 2024, 2026, kind of strikes me as very, you know, eerily precedent that it's going to be episode 10, 11, 12. We'll see. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's still a lot of mystery surrounding it. I hope they don't do 10, 11, 12. I would like to see something new. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to see, like, Knights of the Old Republic era type stuff.
Oh, go really, like, far back.
Like,
yeah.
ancient stuff. I keep telling you, the one thing I really want to know more about are the Grey Jedi. And I'm pushing the Rey as a Grey Jedi thing. I don't think it's going to happen, but if they can somehow do something like that, I want to see how it all started. I want to see, like,
yeah,
the more mythical 10, aspects of it.
10,000 years before,
yeah, exactly.
Skywalkers were a thing, yeah.
Exactly. Yes. What would you like to see most? What is a gap in the Star Wars lore or legacy that you would like to explore as a fan?
Well, so me personally, my problem is the books that I read for Star Wars was the ones that now Disney says aren't canon now,
right?
But I really loved Shadows of the Empire, which is a book that takes place in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
And it goes over just that time period where, you know, Princess Leia and Lando, they're not sure how they're gonna get Han Solo back. Luke is still in that questioning. The book really goes into Luke's questioning phase on just, like, how could this have happened? Why was I not? Why didn't nobody tell me? Why didn't Obi-Wan, you know, let me know that this was my actual family heritage? Why didn't Yoda tell him? Like, it really went into a lot of great, like, actual, like, adult themes in that book. And I don't know. Me personally, I would love to see if, you know, if they could do, like, maybe like an animation or a cartoon or something like that. Because that was just great material, and I remember reading that book.
So you,
and I read that like twice. It was so cool.
You, if I understand correctly, you want like an animated series about that interstitial.
Well,
period?
Yeah, because you can't make a movie. Everybody's too old, and
fair
and,
enough.
And
yeah,
Princess Leia and Carrie Fisher's dead. But
what about a movie like a parallel story that shows? Because that was really the Empire at their peak, right? I mean, they were winning during that period between Empire Strikes Back and
well, they're winning against the Rebels at that point. Really, yeah. The peak of the Empire, though, is,
I guess it was before four.
Between, yeah, Empire is between episode 3 and 4.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe you can do a concurrent story along Rogue One or something like that.
Yeah.
Something that doesn't directly tie into the beginning events of A New Hope. Maybe you could do something like that.
But you want, like, a current timeline story, I guess.
I wouldn't be opposed to what you said, actually, doing something like the Knights of the Old Republic, where they jump 10,000 years into the past and explain the origins of the Sith and the Jedi and everything like that. I mean, that would be interesting too.
I mean,
and that would be a good just way to separate these three films from the episodes, the legacy of the episodes.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think one of the problems with the sequel trilogy is that it's too close, and people, it's very toxic at times, no offense, fan base, where it doesn't seem like anything they do can please the fans.
No, I agree with you on that. I keep saying again, I'm really surprised at the hate that The Last Jedi got.
Yeah.
You know, it really threw me for a loop.
The only movie that people liked was Rogue One, and I think it was just because it had Darth Vader in it. No offense, but I really do think.
How about this? Let's satisfy everybody. Have three straight movies of just Darth Vader killing everybody.
That's
literally the whole movie. Every one of these movies. Just
greatest movie of all time, you know?
Game of Thrones involved a lot of death. There you go. Yeah. Just Vader just cutting the crap out of everybody with his lightsaber.
Yeah, I mean, death sells. Sex sells, death sells. So
throw in a random space stripper.
Space stripper.
There you
Darth
go.
Vader's just massacring people and like a belly dancer just like... gyrates across the screen and people are like, sure, why not?
Yes.
Wow, people are really engrossed in it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Disney's gonna approve of this.
Probably not that part. Probably not the wanton murder accompanied by the stripper.
Was it the stripper or the murder? What was too much?
I don't know. Maybe been a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, but
sorry about that.
But
Sorry, Disney.
Yeah.
I don't know, to the drawing board, I guess.
I mean,
whoops.
We're talking about they did nuke a planet in Rogue One, so they're not completely opposed to just wiping out entire...
So it was the space stripper.
It was the space stripper.
That pushed
I think
it over
that's
the
what's
limit.
That's what set it over the edge, yeah.
Sorry.
The
wonton Disney.
Disney's fine with the wonton murder. Just like they did with Comcast in the Hulu deal.
Yes.
But yeah, so it'll be really interesting to see where they go with everything. And And I think they do need breathing room. I think whenever you have a series that has that type of gravitational pull, you need space from it if you want to do your own thing. And that's been sort of the downfall of the past four movies, the spinoffs and the sequel trilogy movies thus far, is people still, every single movie, well, the original did this. The original didn't do that. This doesn't make sense because of the original. It's you got to get away from that pull. One was too similar. One was too different. One didn't have enough. One had too much. You need the space. So I say set it thousands of years in the future or thousands of years in the past.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you could do Knights of the Old Republic. There's an established storyline there, so you could do that.
Yeah. Well, we will see.
And speaking of the Star Wars video games, this is a good transition into our follow-up video game topic that we want to briefly mention. Apparently, Electronic Arts says that now they want to change up game release strategies and have, quote, better communications with fans. I wonder why.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's all very shocking that EA wants to change things up. I mean, right now, Anthem is really struggling. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're delaying a lot of their post-release content. And BioWare had to come out and say that they promised that they're 100% committed to it. You shouldn't really have to say things like that, you know, unless fans have serious concerns. So the fact that fans have serious concerns is a concern in and of itself. So EA is in full-on damage control now. They're now changing the framing of how we're going to get games. They're bringing up things like soft launches and test launches, using the example of how mobile games work in Asia, how mobile games release in smaller territories with limited features, and then they roll out stuff over time. And to me, I think if you read between the lines, this is them setting the stage to them being like, here's this early access thing that we want you to pay $60 for up front, and then we have an excuse for why it's incomplete. You know what I mean? They're almost reverse engineering a reason why they're going to start releasing games roughshod, you know, and incomplete. And that sort of bothers me. If it was coming from another developer that had a better track record, I might buy it, but I'm not buying this. I think this is preemptive damage control for how they're going to start releasing games in unfinished builds, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't trust EA. I just, whenever they're doing stuff like this, it's it's like I've lost all trust with them, you know, between the fact that they essentially killed off Mass Effect, that Anthem was a disaster, the Battlefront fiasco. I mean, there's just so many.
And the way they piecemeal their sports and their Sims games now, I mean, it's really bad. And that's what I think this is. This is a conversation that they're trying to get ahead of, where they start to lay the groundwork to be more similar to mobile games. That's what they said. They want to do launches like mobile games. Everything is about getting closer to that model of microtransactions and piecemeal updates, moving away from traditional development. And I don't think there's a reason for such a big developer to do it that way. They have the resources to make complete games.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have to resort to the tactics that small teams and independent studios use.
Yeah. That's another thing too. Yeah, they're trying to play that same card. You're absolutely right. You know, like, no, you guys are a mega corporation.
This is the biggest video game company in the industry.
You can't play that card.
Yeah. So the excuse that they use is that the way games are developed has changed. That before it used to be, you know, so many hours of offline play, but now there's so many hours of offline play, and they have to account for developing 100, 200, 3 hours of online play, you know, with continued updates and everything. And they're the only developer complaining about this. There are developers like Ubisoft with the Division 2 that is rocking the live service model right now. Yeah. Division 2 is doing so well, and fans are in...
Grand Theft Auto
is doing the same thing. They didn't even set out to do a live service thing. They just stumbled into it,
yeah.
You know, and they're making it work. So I don't buy this. I don't buy this from EA, and I don't like to be bitter like that because they've given some great games over the years, but
they haven't recently.
And you're absolutely right. That's the problem. It's everything in this world is what have you done for me recently?
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. The other thing they said is they want to change the communication, like you said. They want to go from presentation mode to communication or to conversation mode. So they want to do less of showing stuff and more of getting direct feedback from the fans and having a dialogue. But in my experiences, the dialogue they have with fans has been, this is our vision, deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, when the Battlefront thing happened, their official response was, we want fans to have a sense of accomplishment. And that was their excuse for having to grind 50 hours to unlock one character. You know, they're tone deaf.
Yep.
You can't have a dialogue if you're not listening. So if they have this conversation and they listen and they change, great. I don't see it happening because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I don't either.
The proof is in the pudding. Let's see it happen first.
Right. So until that happens, we're going to remain skeptical on Electronic Arts. So... a word of warning from us video game experts here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're not trusting EA until we see proof. And with that, that will wrap up the entertainment entree. Oh, man. That was a great entertainment entree between the fact that we got to play Rats. We talked about Pepsi Man and video games and Star Wars. I liked it.
Yeah, it was a jam-packed segment, but we got so much more in store for you guys.
That's right, because the non-fortune cookie odd news is coming up next, and I've got a lot of crazy stories, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
I have another random sound clip that I would like to play.
Okay.
And I think you'll get a kick out of this one. Because right now I'm addicted to Twin Peaks.
Right.
This is just a great sound clip from the main character who gets stuck in a casino.
Okay.
But he can only get this out.
Hello!
It actually has a variant. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little peak in the middle. Hello.
Right. Hello.
It's almost like a song. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it sounds like a yodel.
Hello.
Yodel. Yeah, a little bit.
He needs to be on top of a mountain.
Hello.
A little bit, yeah.
Let's go to the Price is Right. Let's knock that, knock the guy off the cliff. No, we need to get Twin Peaks on.
Place him
there.
With this guy.
Hello.
Yeah.
It does fit.
Hello.
does.
Hello.
There you go. You got a new updated version of, what was it, Cliffhanger?
Yeah, but instead of calling it Cliffhangers, we call it Twin Peaks.
I tell you to take a break, but unfortunately, it's time for the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. And everybody knows that in this segment, Rich researches the news. He reads the news, and I react to the news.
And let's start off with this one here in Georgia. Firefighters had to rescue several people who were trapped on the second floor of an apartment building after the apartment complex removed the only staircase.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean they removed a staircase? Oh, the apartment just decided to take the stairs away.
Right. No big deal.
Well, people were still up there.
Yeah, sure.
Fantastic.
Hello!
That's actual audio from the people yelling to the apartment manager.
Hello!
The lone staircase at the Maple Walk Apartments is the only way in and out of several homes on the second floor. Neighbors told Channel 2's Sophia Choi that they woke up to the stairs being removed and no way to get down.
Hello!
You know, like, at the end of the year when we do the best excuses for getting out of work?
Yeah, this is a good one.
Hey, boss, they took my stairs. What do you mean they took your stairs? They took my stairs. They're gone.
Hello.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. A lot of interesting news that we got to. But there's one realm of news that we still have yet to get to. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It is one of my favorite segments of all time. It's time for the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me so that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and I'm ready to get started. Where are we going first?
All right. How about for our first story, a user-submitted story?
Okay.
From your mom.
Yeah.
Your mom told me I had to pull this story out for this week's batch of odd news.
This will be interesting because she tried to tell me. She said, oh my gosh, did you hear about this story in Florida? You should talk about it on the podcast. I said, stop. You can't tell me.
Yeah.
If you have a story.
It must channel through me.
Yeah, all odd news stories have to go directly to Rich. I can't see them.
Yes.
It defeats the purpose of the segment.
But this one is worthy, I think.
Okay.
And it does involve Florida, of course.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy. Yeah,
so here's...
I'm really eager to hear what she came up
with. Right, here's a story your mom wanted to let you in on. Authorities in Florida said that a woman was cited by police after a cop saw her reaching into her pants during a traffic stop and pulled out a baby alligator from the pants. Yes.
This, wow.
This is what she pulled out here.
Oh.
So wait, you said she was stopped in traffic?
Yeah.
Like what, a light?
No, she got pulled over. So
oh, anyway, she got pulled over for something completely unrelated.
Yeah, here's the story.
Okay.
The Charlotte County Sheriff's Office said that a vehicle was stopped at 3 in the morning for driving past a stop sign.
Okay.
The driver, a 22-year-old man, told a deputy that he and his 25-year-old female passenger was trying to collect frogs and snakes from the underpass of Oil Well Road. The deputy asked the pair to show the wildlife that they had collected, and the woman opened a backpack to reveal that they collected 42 mud turtles.
What? Why? What? Also, how do you get 42 turtles into a backpack? I'm assuming they're small, but yeah. That's still a
they're
lot.
Mud, yeah, they're mud turtles. They're really, I would imagine they're really small.
What? They were out at 3 a.m. to collect frogs and turtles from an underpass.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, well, apparently these guys do. Wow. So the officer then asked, did she have anything else? And that's when she reached inside her yoga pants and pulled out a baby alligator. Yeah.
Wow. What do you do as a cop in that situation? Like, you have this car, and these people just have all these animals that they collected in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And she has the one, you couldn't find a better place than in your pants?
Yeah, right? You don't have another backpack?
Or just put it in the back seat. or put it in a, your pants was the best. You didn't have pockets?
Yeah,
The glove box? The center?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Well, no. She said just the pants.
It was just the pants. Yeah, it wasn't up there. No.
Yeah, it wasn't up anywhere.
No, but it is around there.
It is around there.
It's in the vicinity.
Yes.
Too close for comfort, in my opinion.
Or maybe just close enough for her comfort. We don't know what these people are doing with these reptiles.
Well,
that is so bizarre.
Well, Florida does, because in Florida, turtle species and alligators are both regulated. So the two occupants of the car were both cited for possession of the animals and violating bag limits for reptiles.
No.
That's an actual
Shut
crime.
Up. They have a limit to the number of reptiles you can have in a bag. In Florida. That's how you know your state has a problem.
Yes.
If there's a limit to the... Not the fact that you have reptiles in a bag, but it's the number
right.
that they have a problem
right.
with.
Right. If you have one, you're fine. Anything more than that, oh, we got it. We got to take you in.
That, oh my God. I love this story. I got to tell my mom that this is amazing. That is fantastic. There's a bag limit.
There's
a
bag limit for reptiles.
So if it had been like a smaller amount of turtles, would it have been okay?
Yeah, I guess it would, because it says... she violated bag limits.
Hold on, I got
it. Is that part of the Florida Penal Code?
I have no. I'm going to look it up. Other wildlife regulations. Hold on, let me see.
While you look it up, the turtles and the alligator were seized by deputies and were released back into the wild. Since we're talking about alligators, I can pull up one of my favorite Family Feud clips.
Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Alligator.
Something.
Oh my God. Love that dumb answer. Alligator.
Alligator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got three letters in its name. Good job.
Yeah.
Right this way, please.
Did the person think it meant like three of the same, like the same letter repeated three times?
I don't know. You got me on that one.
It's just a dumb answer.
Right.
No matter how you cut it.
Just one of my favorite Family Feud moments.
Well, I can't find anything for bag limits, but I guess it's a thing. The article says it's a thing. That is just so weird. How many people in your state are keeping reptiles in bags?
Yeah, that you need to have a separate law for.
Is that a common thing? Do people just go around and pick up
I have a reptile! Woo!
Yes, I'm sure that's their exact reaction. I have a reptile.
I got one. I don't know. How else do you capture a reptile?
I mean, maybe not exclaim it like that. Just nonchalantly capture it.
That's not exciting enough.
I really want to know what they were doing at 3 a.m., though.
Yeah.
Collecting reptiles at 3 a.m. I mean, obviously, there were nefarious intents here.
You guys don't have anything better to do at 3 in the morning?
Also, how'd they get 42 of them? When I was a kid and I went down to the creek, I couldn't find a single snake or turtle or salamander or newt or anything. I desperately tried. I really did try, Rich, because my cousins found one, and I was desperate to find one, too, in a creek, and I never, not a single one.
Well, this is Florida.
42?
Florida is a mystical place.
Your reasoning is it's literally a fantasy realm.
Yes.
Separate from the realm of men.
There's just reptiles and amphibians just...
This is
plenty.
This is like Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe
yes.
level stuff over
right.
here.
Yeah.
You cross that border, it's basically like stepping through the wardrobe, you're in Narnia / Florida.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
right.
Makes sense. Perfect.
I think Narnia is a town in Florida.
Narnia, Florida.
Yes, that sounds like a town name for Florida.
I mean, they have town names for everything else there, so you might as well.
Why not? So there you go. Thank you, Mrs. Costanzo, for that news story.
I was pleasantly surprised because my mom, she's not into the odd news stuff. So I didn't think that she'd be one to recommend an article, but there you go.
Yep. Definitely a good one. All right. How about we get to the odd news that I had planned before your mom sent me that one?
All right. Let's do it.
So this one is in Washington State. So not Florida.
No, like literally the exact opposite.
Yeah, the exact opposite
as
corner of the
far
country.
Away you can get from Florida in the continental U.S.
Yes. Security cameras outside a Washington State car service store captured the moment that two thieves got together to steal an entire Pepsi vending machine.
Pepsi Man!
Aha! Another use!
I'm starting to see why you found that clip.
Pepsi Man!
Just when I thought I had escaped.
Nope.
Pepsi Man returns.
They are
Pepsi Man.
Yeah, they're Pepsi Men.
Pepsi Men, the plural.
Pepsi Man!
Can there be multiple Pepsi Men?
This is America.
You can be whatever you want to be.
You can be whatever you want to be in America.
Live your dreams, people. So they stole the Pepsi vending machine because Pepsi wasn't enough.
No, yeah, they had to get the entire vending machine.
Okay.
But what makes the theft even weirder is that there is a police station right across the street and none of the cops noticed it.
Pepsi Man!
How do you not notice people getting away with a vending machine?
Yeah.
They are huge.
Vending machines are huge.
And I assume very loud.
Yes.
Like, there's no way to gently lift a vending machine into a flatbed truck, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's how they got... How did they get away with it?
So here's the full-blown story here. Ryan King, the owner of the Performance Lube Center, said he arrived for work Wednesday morning and immediately noticed that something rather large was missing. He said that we usually have small thefts, but nothing this drastic. As soon as we got into work, we could tell it was gone. They reviewed surveillance camera footage afterwards and saw two men that were able to tip the 700-pound Pepsi machine into the bed of a pickup truck.
Yeah.
Pepsi Man!
See, not easy, fast, or delicate.
Yeah.
This is a... People are like grunting and straining and big loud thumping and clanging noises. How did people miss this?
Yeah. I mean, maybe... The only thing I can think of is maybe the police thought they were like vending machine repairmen and were going to take it away.
Wasn't this in the middle of the night?
Yeah. Maybe they come in the middle of the night. I don't know.
And they come with a regular pickup truck? Not a branded Pepsi truck. It's just some dude in a red Ford.
Yeah, the branded truck is broken.
So you have to bring your own truck to work.
Pepsi Man!
There you go.
Pepsi Man's really falling on hard times.
Yeah, he needs that Pepsi.
Oh, my God.
The owner says that I'll doubt I'll ever get the Pepsi machine back. Apparently, there was an attempt to steal the machine a few months ago.
Oh, my God.
But all they were able to do was cut the power. Why would that do anything?
What? You don't even need to cut the power. All you have to do is unplug it. They make it sound like it was some technical feat they accomplished.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, they cut the power. No, you unplugged a machine.
They're like spies or something.
Right.
Here we go. Cut the power.
They cut the power. Pepsi Man! So they tried to steal it. They got as far as unplugging. They said, well, I don't know.
No, I don't think they unplugged it. I think they probably cut it live.
Why? Why steal it? You can't even get it to run then.
Oh, I don't know. I don't understand the logic here.
So months ago, they walked up to the machine. They pulled out a pair of scissors. They cut the power cord. And they go, oh, it's broken now.
Damn it.
And then just left it. Pepsi Man! Now I know why I like Coke better.
Yeah. Stick with Coca-Cola.
Oh, man.
But there you go. True story. And it gave me a good reason to keep using the Pepsi Man sound clip.
Yes, please, play it another 100 times, Rich. No. Pepsi
Man! This is your fault. You egg me on.
No.
And I will. I'm the one in charge of the sound clips.
Oh, God.
All right? Don't you test me. Anyway.
Moving along.
Let's go to... this is a quick story, but this is disturbing to think about. I don't think you're going to like this story.
Okay.
Going to China in this story, here it is. Chinese doctor shared video online of the unusual cause of his most recent patient's ear discomfort. It wasn't any sort of regular pain. It was instead a spider was able to build a nest inside his ear.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches seeds just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That music is far too cheery for what we're talking about.
Well, he literally is a Spider-Man because he's got spiders in his ears.
Yeah. Oh, that is horrific. Oh, man. So, how quickly do spiders build nests?
Was this
like real quick over like one night, or like was it building for a while? Like how quickly do spiders do it? Because I feel like if it's something that takes a while, how do you not notice it? But if it's something that happens quickly, then I can see how like over the course of a night.
Yeah. So here's a story. The video was filmed at a hospital at Jiangsu province. It shows the inside of the patient's ear. The patient named Lee came into the hospital complaining of discomfort in his ear. That's when the doctor looked inside and discovered a small spider's nest that was building inside the ear canal.
So it was building. It was still forming.
Yeah.
At least that's how that writing means to me.
Yeah. So luckily it was early.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
The doctor says that this...
Where was the spider living?
It was in the ear.
The spider was living in the ear.
Yeah.
It set up shop. That was its home.
Yes. The doctor said that this was possible because the spider was very small.
Okay.
So I guess that's kind of the saving grace.
Like a very, very tiny, you're not necessarily going to feel it type.
Yeah.
Oh, that's still, God.
Unfortunately, this means that the spider was too small to be grabbed using tools, but... since they caught it relatively early, the hospital staff were able to use a standard water ear washing pump to flush the nest out of the patient's ear.
Jeez.
So, luckily, no. You know what? Out of everything, that's probably the best case scenario.
That really was the best possible outcome to that story. Because
if it burrows deep enough, you're looking at surgery.
Have you ever read the story, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
I think I know what you're talking about.
The girl with the pimple. There's a story, and they have a trailer. They have a trailer of it. They're making a movie of that book.
Oh, my God, no.
And it's going to be horrific, and it's also going to be bad. But the story I'm talking about is where the girl has a pimple on her face, and she's like, oh, God, this pimple's really bothering me. She goes to pop it, and it's a spider nest under her skin, and the spiders all come out and crawl over her face. And it's like the images in the book are terrifying.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Yeah, you know, so terrifying, like that.
They're literally Spider-Men.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. So, yeah, keep an eye out if you get a random pain in your ear, because, yeah.
But that's exactly what I thought. When you said spider in the ear, I immediately went to Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah, so there you go. Well,
it's coming out in August, by the way.
Instead of a pimple, it was an ear, so
yeah.
Keep in mind.
It's coming out in August, by the way, the movie.
Oh, there you go. So
yeah,
you can check it out.
Yeah, definitely you can see that.
All right. Let's do. I'm going to do this one here because this is another just weird one to imagine. This one in Georgia, a box of Legos that were supposed to contain 244 pieces of bricks, gears, and axles, instead held something wrong for kids. Investigators said that a trio of Georgia women recently purchased a Lego kit at a consignment shop. Where they gave the set to one of their children. Instead of opening up to Legos, it turned out it had 3 pounds of meth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Whoops.
So this is a consignment shop. Was it an open box? Like, had it been... It had been used, right?
Well, it had been it had been turned over. So, it's interesting you bring up this point because this is something that I didn't know.
Okay.
So the origin of the Lego box was that it was mailed by a drug trafficker, but wherever he sent it to, the package was never picked up.
Okay.
So what happens is at the postal service, if packages aren't picked up after a certain time, they go to a consignment auction.
Oh.
Which I didn't know that. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Huh. That is interesting. Jeez, go pick up your packages, people.
Yeah. And there you go. This was supposed to go to a drug dealer's recipient, but instead it ended up at a child in Georgia.
Because I was wondering. Yeah. I mean, it's every kid's favorite. I mean, it goes Legos, meth. It's right up there.
Dear Santa, I want Lego and a bicycle and meth. Wait, what?
Yeah.
What was that?
It's good for all the growing boys and
Billy,
girls.
What was that?
You heard me, Santa. I don't know why Billy suddenly aged like 12 years.
You heard me, Santa.
You heard me, you fat son of a bitch.
Give me the meth.
Give me the meth. He's jonesing. But, yeah, so that answers the question of, because, like, I thought it would have been, like, open and they would have, like, known, you know, but I guess if it goes directly from the post office to the consignment shop,
yeah,
then it stays.
I guess it stays in the package.
I guess so, man.
But yeah, isn't that? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
After a while, if your packages aren't claimed, yeah, it goes to a consignment auction.
What is the time frame?
I don't know. It doesn't say in the story.
It's like 3 business days. Boom, done. Or do they give you like a reasonable amount of time?
It's got to be a reasonable amount. It's not 3 business days.
No, I mean, obviously I'm exaggerating, yeah. But like it would have to be a while, right?
I think so.
I hope so.
So the value of the Lego box with all this meth in it, $40,000.
Wow.
So yeah, some drug dealer just lost $40,000 not picking up their packages.
Jeez.
So sorry, whoever that was.
I would be heartbroken.
Yeah.
I would be absolutely heartbroken if that happened.
A probe has now been launched with the DEA to find out where this package originally came from. So whoever mailed it, they're in trouble. All right. Now let's get to the Florida stories that I did have planned besides the one that your mom sent.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. I got two stories here. Let's go with I got to do this one. You know me. I love wacky excuses.
Oh, absolutely.
So I got definitely have to read this one. A nude Florida man was found playing basketball Tuesday night in a Florida park. When confronted by police, he simply explained When I play naked, it enhances my skill levels. Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going now. Welcome to the space jam. Yes, my ratings go through the roof when I play naked.
What is... I'm trying to find a reasonable explanation for why that could be.
Yes.
Like, is he more aerodynamic? Like, I can't really think of anything else.
Yeah. Less wind resistance?
Less wind. He just cuts through the air.
Yeah.
Like a knife. Just flies through. So, was he playing with himself?
Now, which way are you talking about?
I mean...
With the basketball or himself?
I'll just leave that open-ended.
Yes.
But, no, was he, like... But, in all seriousness, was he playing alone or was he playing with other people? And they were just fine. They're like, oh, that's Bob. Naked Bob.
Responding to a call about a white male who was not wearing clothing at Candyland Park.
Ooh.
Really?
Oh, that's
you
not
guys
good.
Couldn't come up with a better name than Candyland Park? Anyway. Yeah. A patrolman discovered 29-year-old Jordan Anderson shooting hoops without any clothing. When the officer asked Anderson what he was doing, the suspect stated that, oh, I'm just working on my basketball skills. And then he said that, oh, when I play naked, it enhances my skill levels.
That is so dumb.
Of course.
So dumb.
Do you play with naked? What? How do you play with all that clothes on?
Yeah, all that restrictive clothing just gets in the way. Oh, my God. He really thought that was going to work?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't actually think that, right? I hope not. I hope he's not that dumb. I think he is that dumb, though.
Yes,
I
think he is. Since Anderson was in public while being naked, he was charged with indecent exposure and exposing his sexual organs. He's booked in the county jail on a misdemeanor charge. He's locked up in lieu of a $500 bond.
See, I'd be worried to play in the nude.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Especially as a dude, you got your junk flopping around.
Flapping around, you know? Yeah. No.
You got to have some protection wrapped up there.
You'd feel so vulnerable, too. You know?
Also, when you try and do a crossover dribble, that could get really dangerous.
You just clip it. You're like, oh.
Oh, God.
That's Bob again, hitting himself in the nuts.
All right, another Florida story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I know you love these stories. A Florida woman was found to have 7 syringes stashed inside her hoo-ha when she was booked inside a county jail on Tuesday evening.
Hoo-ha!
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Syringes?
Yes.
I mean, they had to have been capped, right? Otherwise, that would have been bad news.
But here's how the whole incident started. Police were called to a Burger King in reference of a female that was yelling and snarling at staff.
Snarling?
Yeah, there's a first. I don't think we ever had that in a police report.
So she's like an actual animal.
Yeah.
Like growling and frothing at the mouth.
She was collecting the turtles.
It's all connected.
The suspect was refusing to leave the restaurant. When officers arrived, they detected several indicators of narcotics usage.
Like the snarling?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Cops arrested 35-year-old Jamie Westcott. During a pat-down, Westcott suddenly pulled away as the officer tried to search her groin area. When refusing to identify what could have been in the groin area, she also whispered to herself, "I effed up."
Don't say that. I mean, that's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, man, that's... Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Come on. When she was being processed in the jail, cops warned her she was going to face additional charges if they found contraband that she was trying to smuggle into the jail. At that point, she relented. She took off her pants and her underwear and removed 7 syringes from her vagina that were all filled with heroin.
Hoo-ah! Man. I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Yeah.
That sounds so risky. One of them breaks or something. You know, that's just... That's bad, 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 bad.
Yeah. I'm surprised you fit seven of them up there.
That seems like a lot, and it seems like it'd be very uncomfortable, too.
Yeah.
Syringes, they're not like... They've got like phalanges and points and, you know?
Yeah, that's a very risky proposition.
Yeah.
Westcott was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia, resisting an officer without violence, and introducing contraband into a penal institution.
Hey, they said she wouldn't get charged for that.
Well, I guess she waited too late.
Ugh.
Which, by the way, that's the one that's a felony.
Oh.
The other two were actually misdemeanors. She would have gotten off pretty relatively easy, but...
Don't do the drugs, kids.
Yeah, that last one is a felony. So she is in jail on a $5,000 bond.
She really brought it on herself. I mean, obviously committing the crime. That's bad in and of itself. But then she, like, pulls away during the pat-down. You know, you don't know if they were actually going to find it. So then you make them suspicious. And then they start questioning you. And then you start having an inner monologue, but it's outside verbally to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes them even more suspicious. It's just one misstep after another.
Yeah.
She brought it on herself. She totally deserved it.
All right, and I got one more Florida story here to end the odd news on.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And I love these stories as well. A 70-year-old Florida motorist was arrested Tuesday after an off-duty cop spotted the suspect driving the car moving forward, but at the same time, he was sitting on the sunroof of his Cadillac sedan.
What?
Yes. Think How? About this. The car is moving forward.
Yeah.
And he is he's sitting on top of the sunroof.
So outside the car.
Yes.
How? What? How is he managing this?
Maybe cruise control? Maybe he activated the cruise control and that's how he's...
How is he steering? Does he have his legs through?
Oh, maybe he's got his legs on the steering wheel.
So he set cruise control and he's steering with his feet.
Maybe.
Wow.
There you go. Anyway, the point is
ballsy.
This cop spotted the 70-year-old driving while somehow sitting on the sunroof at the same time.
Oh my God. And you said this was on the highway?
Yes. 70 Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy's bold.
Jeez.
70
One wrong move and it's just all over.
70-year-old Leonard Olaf Olson was traveling on Interstate 4 at 1 p.m.
Wow.
In the middle of the day.
Wow. I gotta admit, I'm kind of impressed at this whole thing.
That's when the sheriff's deputy spotted him recklessly driving the vehicle.
God, it must be terrifying being a Florida cop. You're just sitting there minding your business. Vroom, 70 miles an hour. Was that person sitting outside his car? You turn to your partner, you're like, did you see that? He's like, nah, couldn't have been.
No. Are we on drugs?
Are we on drugs? Yeah. What was in these donuts?
Well, guess what?
What?
You want to take a guess at how fast he was going?
Oh, man. It's either something stupidly slow or, like, outrageously fast. I don't know. I'm going to go outrageously fast. I'm going to say he was doing, like, 90.
The deputy clocked him going 100 miles per hour.
Wow.
This dude just doesn't give an F.
Dude, that means he set the cruise control for 100 and then climbed out of his sunroof.
Yes.
That is terrifying.
Yes.
What?
At that point, the deputy called in Florida Highway Patrol officers.
Oh, my God. How do you even get out of the car without the car just completely losing control and killing everyone?
He did it.
Because cars, like, naturally, like, drift, you know?
Yeah, but I guess maybe he had his feet on the steering wheel or something to keep it in check.
But, like, you stumble a little bit and...
Hey, you're going 100 miles per hour. You're going to feel it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, Florida Highway Patrol officers were then sent to pull Olson over.
How do you even, I would just be laughing my ass off the entire time.
After a couple of miles with their flashing lights on, they pulled him over. He was alone. And then they asked him, why were you on top of the sunroof?
What did he say?
Olsen explained, quote, I figured the car can drive itself. It has a gigantic computer in it.
Oh, my God.
And then I thought right now would be a good time to praise God.
Why?
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
So right now, while going 100 miles per hour on the highway, I think this is a good time to pray to Jesus.
Not just pray to Jesus, but actually physically get out of your car.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wow. So, again, it must be terrifying being a cop because you're sitting there, zoom, 100 miles an hour, the dude's outside of his car, but also praising God, arms outstretched, face up, staring into the sun.
Yes. Praise be.
Praise be.
Praise be. Thank you.
Why?
Why? Oh, my gosh.
God is an awesome God.
This is like a different rendition of
this
song.
Yes, it is. I needed to pull the extended edition for this one.
Wow.
Woo.
So many twists and turns in this story.
So he thought right now would be a good time to be religious and praise God. But unfortunately, the cops didn't view that as convenient. He was booked into the county lockup on a reckless driving charge. So,
is there a charge above reckless driving? Because that's what I think this was.
Yeah.
He was outside the car. Hold on, legal loophole. Is that driving?
If he's using his feet to steer...
That's what we assumed. We still don't really know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he has to be steering somehow, right?
Yeah.
Or does he actually have, like, a self-driving car? Like, is it a Tesla?
No, this can't be a Tesla.
Well, what was it? Does it say?
Cadillac. There you go. It was a Cadillac.
So it's definitely not a self-driving car.
Yeah. It's not a Tesla or a smart car.
He just assumed it was self-driving because it had a computer.
Right. The fancy thinking computer in it.
Wow. Wow. What type of world does that guy live in where a computer equals self-driving autonomous vehicles?
And I can praise God going 100 miles per hour on the speedway.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
All right, so there you go. On that note, that will wrap up this week's non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. Praise be.
Praise be.
Praise be. But there's one more thing we have left to do, and that is to go over all that we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned that being a cop in Florida is actually terrifying.
Yes.
And somehow, it only took me 6 years to realize this. Like, I'm just coming to this now, episode 307. I'm like, hey, that's actually really scary.
Why are people doing this stuff?
Why are people doing this stuff? But think about it. You're a cop in Florida. People are driving their cars from the outside of their cars.
Yes.
Doing 100 miles an hour.
We have hit that point.
That is terrifying. You're just sitting there minding your own business, like, oh, great, I got to pull this guy over now. Wow.
Yeah.
I also learned that apparently God's actually looking... The reason why God doesn't do more miracles is because he's looking out for all the idiots in Florida.
Yeah, that are praying to him while driving.
It's taking all of his effort to keep that state alive. Like, they're perpetually teetering on the edge of self-destruction. And he's like, no, he's beaming all of his God powers... Right to Florida. Right to the Wang of America.
Praise be.
Praise be. That's when the post offices will sell your unclaimed packages.
Yeah.
If you don't pick them up.
Right.
So go pick up your packages.
Yeah. You don't pick them up, you lose them.
You have 3 business days, I assume. Probably not. But better be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
Also, that Pepsi Man is falling on hard times. He has to outsource the vending machine servicing to some random dudes in a pickup truck in the middle of the night.
That's right. Poor Pepsi Man.
Poor Pepsi.
Pepsi Man!
I also learned that Rich can and will play a clip 400 times in an episode. 401.
Yes.
I also learned that Rich thinks Florida is a mystical realm outside the realm of men, and that Narnia is probably a town there.
Yeah, I think it's got to be, because
it's definitely a Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe type thing.
There's all these wacky people. There's a lot of reptiles and amphibians.
Yeah, it's craziness down there.
Yeah.
Craziness. So crazy, they needed to develop a law that limits the number of reptiles you can put in a bag.
Yes.
Because so many people were carrying reptiles in bags.
Right, and we don't want to hurt the reptiles.
Right. So it's not the fact that you have a reptile in a bag or multiple reptiles in a bag. It's the fact that you had one too many multiple reptiles in a bag.
Come on, show some respect.
That's the most bizarre thing about Florida that I've heard today. Well, one of.
Yeah, well, one of.
No, not really. You can't safely say that about Florida.
No.
Anything else you could say that was the most or that was one of the most, but Florida? Never.
No. Don't ever count Florida out of a weird competition.
There you go. Sage advice.
And there you go. That's what we've learned this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And just like that, another fun episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast is in the books, and we got to start wrapping this one up. Boy, man, yeah, it was an interesting odd news.
Absolutely. Tons of Florida stuff.
Yes.
A story submitted by my mom.
Yeah.
People praising Jeepus at 100 miles an hour. Craziness,
crazy.
I tell you.
But just to let everybody know, it's not just Mike's mom. Anybody can submit a link to our Twitter feed, either at the Crispy Noodle or my handle at Rich Liebig. And yeah, we might hear it on the next episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and Mike will react to it. So definitely, if you personally find some odd news, send it our way, and we'll give you a shout out right here on the podcast for it. But that's just one of the many ways that you can interact with us here at the Crispy Noodle headquarters. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to go to our website, crispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And follow us on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and now Spotify. You get a free episode downloaded.
Ah, we're everywhere!
Every Thursday. So subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on a variety of podcast networks.
Yeah, and any one that you like. Because
I
think we're on every single one now.
Everywhere.
Just like Mike said, every Thursday, no matter what it is, we'll throw something your way with the Crispy Noodle Podcast, the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, and the non-fortune cookie odd news. We also have a SoundCloud page as well. That's where we put the promos up. So check that out if you want to listen to some of our best bits in a quick manner.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening.
Send us those stories.
That's right. Before I choke again on my water, I was about to choke there on that last bit. But before I choke, let's end this episode. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
No, well, I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!